Welcome, gentlemen. We invite you to enjoy, gentlemen. We've Fred Allen, the winner of the Texaco College Cup and the University of North Orchestra. By the more than 45,000 Texans. Tonight, the horse show closes in Madison Square Garden. Tomorrow, New York will be a one-horse town. And here is the one nag who will still be here. He's Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, Jimmy, did I hear you say you, after rehearsing all day, did I hear you say you were at the horse show?
Why, yes.
Wait a minute. That's the fellow who wrote that straight line. You see, wait till we get to a point and the author hears that. Did I hear you say that you were at the horse show?
Yes, I went over opening night.
You did?
Yes, society turns out every year. And I tag along.
You tag along, huh? Out of the money as usual.
It may interest you to know, Mr. Allen, that I run with the horsey set.
Horsey set? You'd look more at home pulling a brewery wagon, Jimmy.
Don't you think I look horsey?
You certainly do. Say, if you'll get down on all fours, I'll bet I can sell you to Crosby on a foggy day. What do you want at the horse show? This is 1941, Jimmy. Horses are relics. The automobile is here to stay.
Oh, yeah? Well, what has the automobile got that the horse hasn't got?
Why, everything. Automobiles come out with new models every year. Streamlined fronts, turret tops. Why, the horse has had that same rear end for generations.
Well, you never had to worry about a horse getting a dent in his fenders.
No, you've got me there.
And nobody ever had any trouble with a horse's ignition.
No, the sparking was always done in the wagon.
Behind the horse's back, don't forget.
All right, I...
And what about riding? 10 cents worth of hay and a horse would run all night.
All right, so it was cheaper.
You bet your life it was. You didn't have to drive into a Texaco station. You didn't have to fill your horse up with fire, Chief, every time. What am I saying? My bread and butter, I'm crazy.
Sure, you're crazy. And now this may be your farewell appearance on the program. If a certain man, D.W., is listening in. And now that your opinion of you makes it unanimous, Mr. Wallington, we turn to the latest news of the week. Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. New York City, New York, publisher of Parents Magazine in recent speech, deplored the growth of comic magazine reading by the nation's youth. Texaco News interviews Small Fry Authority and other non-entities to get their opinions pro and con on cartoon and comic reading as it affects children. Now first, our first interview is Mr. Enoch Traub. You are an authority on child development, Mr. Traub?
I am an authority on everything.
How did you acquire your vast knowledge, Mr. Traub?
Well, sir, I run the Traub Research Bureau. I'm called the Dr. Gallup of Trivia.
Oh, the little things the doc has left over you tackle, eh? Well, so what are some of your recent surveys?
Well, what percentage of the movie-going public reach under their seats feeling for gum?
Yes, you did the survey. Well, how did you get your statistics?
I laid under a seat in the Roxy 2 months compiling.
Got the lowdown, hey?
Yeah.
Well, now, what about children reading comics?
The Traub survey settled the issue for all time.
Well, how was your survey conducted, Mr. Traub?
Well, two little boys were locked in a room.
Yes.
One boy was given a comic supplement section.
Yes.
The other boy was given the rest of the newspaper with no funny papers. I whipped out my stopwatch.
The survey was on.
Exactly. 24 hours later, the door was open.
And what did you find?
The little boy who read the comics was still sitting there smiling.
And the little boy? The little boy who was given the rest of the newspaper?
He was gone.
Gone?
Yes, after reading about a robbery on the first page in the racing news in the sporting section.
Yes.
The little boy had climbed out of a window, held up a good humor man, and got $10.
Yes.
Then he went to the racetrack, and with the horse tips he found in the paper, he played 7 races and won
$800. $800?
Yes.
That closed your survey?
Yes, the good little boy who read the comics was given a lollipop for cooperating.
And that bad little boy Did you take the $800 away from him, Mr. Traub?
No, I let him keep it. It'll be a good lesson to him.
When Mr. Morgenthau gets through with him, it certainly will. Well, did you ever read comics as a child, Mr. Traub?
No.
Has it had any noticeable effect on you?
Yes. Today I have no sense of humor.
You never laugh?
I don't have to. I have a little man who does it for me.
Oh, is there such a man who is littler, smaller than you are? Well, this little man who laughs for you isn't here now, is he?
No.
Well, isn't that too bad? We could use a laugh to get you off.
Oh, it's all right. I'll just slink away in silence.
He's doing it, too. Look at that. Thank you. Thank you, Enoch Traub. And now a young man. Didn't you forget to give me your name?
That I did.
What is your name?
Sherman S. Sherman.
Oh, and the S stands for?
Sherman.
Fine, and then your full name is?
Sherman.
Monotonous, isn't it?
Yeah, you can call me from any angle. I'll turn around.
Well, that's nice to know. Now, you said before, Sherman, I think, that you were a cartoon addict.
That I did.
Well, what cartoon do you like best?
Well, all my life, I only read one comic. Joe Palooka.
Joe Palooka, huh?
When I was a little kid, I first seen Joe Palooka, I took an oath.
An oath to what?
Well, other kids was taking oaths to grow up like George Washington or Singing Sam.
But you?
I took an oath to be like Joe Palooka.
And as you grew up?
All through life, I dressed like Joe Palooka, I talked like Joe Palooka, I got my hair cut like Joe Palooka. If Joe Palooka was happy, I was happy.
Oh, good.
Joe Palooka was sad, I was sad.
Well, after emulating Joe Palooka all these years, what has it gotten you?
Well, today, thanks to comics, I got a reputation.
Really?
Every time I walk down the street...
Yes?
People say, there goes that Palooka.
Fine. Well, as a little boy, did you ever fall on your head?
That I did.
I thought... And thank you, Sherman S. Sherman. A young lady who is bitter against comics is Miss L.V. Wentz. That's with an E, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is your story, L.V.?
On account of comic cartoons, a beautiful romance was busted.
What is your work, L.V.?
I'm a compressor.
Compressor?
In a lady's gown shop.
A compressor in a...
Yeah, when a fat lady comes in to try on a girdle, I compress her.
Oh! Sort of a gristle organizer. Well, what about comic magazines, L.V.?
On account of comic cartoons, today I ain't Mrs. Humboldt Tilton.
What a pity. Well, what happened?
Well, for 18 years, Humboldt and me was keeping company.
That's a long time.
Every day Humboldt was at my house for breakfast, dinner, and supper.
He was courting you American plan, huh?
For 18 years, it was me and Humboldt day in and day out, eating and holding hands.
Well, what did Humboldt do evening?
Oh, nights he'd sit around my house reading comic magazines.
And then?
When he was all in from laughing, he'd go home.
He would, huh? Well, what finally happened?
Well, after 18 years of eating and laughing, my mother says, Elvie, when is Humboldt going to pop the question? I says, Ma, I'll go to work on him tonight.
And did you?
Right after he ate supper.
Yeah?
I waited till Humboldt let his belt out.
Yeah?
He was gassy.
Oh.
Supper.
Yeah?
I waited till Humboldt let his belt out.
Yeah?
He was gassy.
Oh. Yes?
Then he laid back on the sofa.
Yeah?
I put out the light.
Yeah?
I snuggled up on the sofa beside him.
In the dark?
Yeah.
Oh. And then...
Humboldt pulled out a flashlight.
Yeah?
And started reading the comic.
Well, I'll...
If he was reading Superman, I wouldn't have cared. Superman might have given Humboldt some romantic ideas.
Well, what was he reading?
Lil Abner. That's why today I ain't Mrs. Humboldt Tilton.
Well, condolences and thank you, L.V. Wentz. We certainly hope that you will be very happy. Spinsterhood.
Excuse me. Is this the Texaco Theater?
Yes, it is. But who are you?
Falstaff sent me.
Falstaff, Openshaw, that rhyming tramp who's been bothering me here every week?
Yeah, Falstaff couldn't come tonight. He's busy.
What is he doing?
30 days.
Well, good. Tonight we won't have one of those stale poems.
That's why Falstaff sent me.
You mean?
He got some poems out through the grapevine.
Through the grapevine, huh? Well, look, I...
Have you heard her love taint the hate when he grabbed that freight?
No.
The clinkers are flying heavily, Jenny. You better lower your veil.
No, I...
Don't stop by to tuck me in, Warden. I'm tunneling through tonight.
No, wait. This evening we are discussing comic magazines and cartoons.
Precisely why Falstaff sent me. He has written a poem about comics.
What is it called?
The Daily Paper.
Well, how does it go?
The broker reads the financial page, the statesman the news oversee. The fight fan grabs the sporting column. These things don't mean nothing to me.
Uh-huh.
When I filch a paper out of some can, I don't want to read economics. The only thing uppermost on me mind is which page do I turn for the comics.
Well, thank you.
I'm nuts for Dick Tracy. I like the Lone Ranger. Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers, that they laugh at danger. Toonerville folks, that magician man Drake, Superman, Blondie, she ain't hard to take.
Well, thank you very
When I'm blue and despondent or down in the dumps, give me Popeye the Sailor or give me the Gump.
Well, thank you
Let the wild have them sections. That review's philharmonics, the sports and the war news. Just give me the comics.
Are you finished now?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. A friend of Falstaff Openshaw's. Well, that brings us to Kenny Baker. And as soon as Al Goodman can find the music, Kenny is going to sing me a song.
But the song has to say that you love me simply, sweetly, and truly too. Sing me a song and be sure that the words aren't about me, sweetheart. The melody say that you love me simply, sweetly, and true. You are so thrilling, essentially thrilling, more charming and lovely than I can say. If you are willing, eventually willing, I'd gladly be yours till the judgment day. Sing me a song and be sure that the words aren't above me. Sweetheart, darling, they will do. simply, sweetly, and for.
Don't delay. He's ready to help you defend your car against mechanical wear and tear during tough winter conditions ahead. When he drains your worn, weakened oil and replaces it with the right grade isolated Texaco motor oil, the battle against high engine heat and cold motor starts is well on the way toward being won. When he protects the expensive gears in your car with the proper Texaco transmission and differential lubricants, they stay protected. And as for the chassis, you can count on his stay-on-the-job Marfac lubricants. Yes, your Texaco dealer has the high-quality products you want, and he's trained to use them. So let a Texaco dealer winter condition your car tomorrow.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, our special guest. May I present at this
Mr.
time...
Howard!
Well, of course. Now for some fun, eh, what? Fun,
I hope so.
Well, your mouth is opening. Is it going to say something? Yeah?
Did you hear Jack Benny Sunday night?
Only part of the show. I heard up to J-E, then I turned it off. I'm not going to do it.
Well, how did Leo DeRocher get on Jack's program?
Who knows? Benny never pays his guest stars. He works on your program if you work on his. Why, he shortchanged Orson Welles and a lot of people that way.
But how can Jack pay back Leo DeRocher?
Well, when the baseball season opens, Benny will probably let Leo dust off the plate with his toupee and call that a guest job. Just the hair will show up. But enough about old Jackson. I've got to get ready for our guest here.
Miss Anna Mae Wong?
Yes, now where's Kenny?
Kenny!
Yes, Porny?
Mr. Allen wants you.
Yes, I want to talk to you about our guest, Kenny. She's Miss Anna Mae Wong, the famous Chinese actress.
I'm all set, F.A. I'm putting on a whole Chinese costume.
Well, don't tell me you've rented an outfit.
No, I had my nightgown Simonized. It shines like the seat of your Sunday pants.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah. I starched my beret so it'll stand up, too. I'm coming in with a little punk.
Oh, you are? You'll be beside yourself, in other words.
This Wong won't know me from a Chinese mandolin.
Oh, not mandolin, it's mandarin, Kenny.
Oh, that's right. A mandolin is a guitar's puppy.
Yes. A mandolin is a zither with a goiter. Are you dressing up for Miss Wong, Portland?
Yes, I'm wearing dark green pajamas. It's a symbol.
What symbol?
I'm supposed to be two lotus stems.
Two lotus stems.
Are you dressing up, F.A.?
Yes, I'm going to dampen my clothes, put a string around my neck, and go as an old tea bag.
And you're just the drip that can do it, too.
Well, if this Chinese routine doesn't go over, I will be the first radio comedian to ever lay an egg fuyang. History might be in the making here tonight.
Does Miss Wong speak any English, Mr. Allen?
Well, I don't think so. I'd better teach you and Kenny how to greet Miss Wong in Chinese.
Gosh, can you talk Chinese, F.A.?
Oh, why, after playing one long pan for so many years... I've practically mastered the Oriental vernacular. Now, when you meet Miss Wong, here's all you say. Miss Wong, Hulima, and Shulam Alakam. Can you say that?
Miss Wong, Hulima, and Shulam Alakam.
Very good, very good. Then she will say to you, Ding Hao. And then you say, Hung Juk Chin Yuk Fung.
What does that mean, Mr. Allen?
It's a Chinese greeting. I got it from a waiter in a Chinese restaurant. Now try it. Hung Juk Chin Yuk Fung.
Hung Juk
chin, you fung.
You sound something like the old Boswell sister. Make a train in the second chorus in the last number. They always. But now look, if Miss Wong doesn't speak any English, we're in the groove. Now break it up and I'll
put on my pajamas.
Good.
Yeah, I'll get my mandolin suit. Come on.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present a charming lady you have seen many times on the screen and on the stage, the international favorite, Miss Anna May Wong. Miss Wong, my little staff welcome you. All right, Kenny in Portland.
Miss Wong, Hulamala and Shulamalaka.
Now give her the clincher.
Hung Juk Chin Yap Fung.
You catch him, Miss Wong?
I beg your pardon, Mr. Allen. Is this some sort of a game you're playing?
Miss Wong, you speak English? Why, I thought I would have to interview you in your native tongue.
Why, English is my native tongue, Mr. Allen.
Well, then we're all set. I'll introduce you again. Miss Wong, this is Portland.
Your costume is beautiful, Miss Wong.
Oh, thank you, Portland. Your costume is very pretty, too.
I'm supposed to be two lotus stems, Miss Wong.
Well, you go away and lotus alone, Portland. Miss Wong, this is Kenny.
How do you do, Kenny? I didn't know you spoke Chinese.
Today I am a Mandarin.
Kenny, please.
Well, it isn't any worse than you did, chum, with that Hong Juk Fung.
All right. Enough is overdoing it, Kenny.
Where did they learn those Chinese words, Mr. Allen?
Well, from me, Miss Wong. A Chinese waiter has been saying Chin Yuk Fung to me for years. Have you any idea what it means?
Well, it sounds something like, brother, don't you ever leave a tip.
I guess I'd better give up Chinese.
Well, it is a very difficult language. There are 4 major dialects and 200 minor ones.
Well, what dialect is Chin Yut Fung? Huh.
Well, I guess that must be one of the northern dialects.
Northern. Well, what do they say in the south? Chin Yut Fung Yual?
I hardly think so.
Well, tell me, Miss Wong, you speak such perfect English. How did you get rid of your dialect?
Well, you see, I was born in Hollywood.
Oh, that helped, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
It's a wonder you didn't catch a dialect out there. Is Anna May Wong your real name?
Yes. In Chinese, it's Wong Lu Song.
Wong Lu Song. What does it mean?
Wong Lu Song means frosted yellow willows.
Frosted yellow willows. Do you think you could translate my name into Chinese, Miss Wong?
Fred Allen? Well, it might take a little while.
Well, let's not bother, huh? It'll probably come out on too long and mean molting pussy willow or something. But tell me, when did you start in pictures?
When I was a youngster.
Did your parents approve?
Oh, not at first. They were convinced that I would never be an actress.
Papa and Mama Wong were mistaken. Well, it just goes to show the two Wongs don't make a right, doesn't it? Have you ever been in China?
Yes, I spent the year of 1936 in China and had a wonderful trip.
Did you peek in at Pekin?
Yes. Yes, Pekin is now called Beijing.
Beijing. By any other name, you visited there, though, didn't you?
That's right. I also went to Taishan in Shandong province. That is where Confucius lived.
Confucius. Do you think that the Chinese people were offended when the Confucius Say vogue was rampant over here?
Oh, no. The Chinese have a wonderful sense of humor.
Really?
Yes. You can have more fun bargaining in a Chinese shop. If you make the storekeeper laugh, he will cut his prices.
If you make him laugh, he'll cut his prices? Say, if 6 acts of vaudeville ever walked in, he'd be out of business, wouldn't he? Well, did you see any funny things on your trip?
Well, there were some funny signs.
Signs on stores, you mean?
Yes. One sign said, first class tailor. Ladies have best fits upstairs.
Best fits. Very good. Were there any others?
One Chinese restaurant had a sign that said, "Genuine American chop suey served here."
In China. Well, chop suey originated in this country, didn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, what does chop suey mean, translated?
Well, literally, it means a mixture of food cut up in small pieces.
In other words, it's a soggy hash. Well, I have heard that in the good old days, formal meals and banquets in China were caloric orgies.
Yes, some of them were enormous. I attended one banquet where they served 6 hors d'oeuvres and 43 courses.
Well, a meal must last over a fortnight there.
Time means... Time means nothing in China, Mr. Allen.
Well, time doesn't mean much here either, Miss Wong. Bolivar's giving it away all day long. Well, did you see any American movies in China?
Yes, of course they changed the titles.
Well, I guess by now they're probably showing Tyrone Power and a Yangtze in the RAF. Did you see any Chinese plays?
Yes, I spent several days at the School of Drama in Beijing. I saw part of one play.
Part of a play, and you were there several days?
Yes. Some Chinese plays have 72 episodes.
72. Well, it must be confusing. A play can open over there, and you won't know until 6 months later that it's a flop. And a thing like that. Can you spot the comedian in a Chinese play?
Yes. You can tell all the actors by their makeup. Now, the villain, for instance, always wears 2 black eyes.
Oh, over here it's the comedian, as a rule. And the comedian over there?
The comedian has his nose painted white.
Well, making up Jimmy Durante would be a project in China, wouldn't it? Do they have many big stars over there?
A few. Actresses are very scarce. And so most of the popular Chinese actors are all female impersonators.
Female impersonator. Well, we have a prominent female impersonator here. He impersonates buxom old matrons, mostly. Jacqueline Benny of the West Coast. tell me, Miss Wong, how do actors become actors in China? Now, is there a major boss over there called Fan Angong who starts them off? Who starts them off?
No, they're not so fortunate. A boy who wants to become an actor in China takes a 6-month test. If he's rejected, he becomes a musician.
He does. Well, artistically, that is as low as you can go.
Yes, it seems to be an unwritten law. If you fail at everything else, try music.
And if you fail at music, join Al Goodman's band. We can't help the customs over there, fellas. I mean, after all. Tell me, why are all Chinese people so polite, Miss Wong?
Good manners are taught in the home right from childhood, Mr. Allen.
Well, are Chinese people polite to each other?
Extremely. A Chinese person always belittles what he owns to make his friend feel superior.
Well, how?
Well, for instance, if I were out walking in China and another lady says to me, "Your coat is beautiful."
Yes?
I would say, "Oh, this old thing, it's nothing."
Uh-huh.
"But your coat, it's beautiful."
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, then, in true Chinese fashion, Miss Wong, I want to thank you for your very entertaining visit tonight.
Oh, I was awful, Mr. Allen, but you were wonderful.
Oh, no, 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 no. You were wonderful. I was terrible. I was terrible.
I was simply vile. You were magnificent.
No, 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 not at all. You were superb. I was putrid.
All right, have it your way.
Thank you, Miss Anna Mae Wong. Jimmy, that idea I discussed.
Not going
with you earlier this evening.
I'm not going
with you earlier. But Donzie.
I refuse.
I'm only at Donzie. I am going operation. Starter. Plankton's throttle. Step on his starter.
It's of Texaco Fire Chief. The emergency duty gasoline that was designed for fire and gasoline that was designed for fire and gasoline that was designed for fire engines and emergency duty vehicles. That performance is being put on right now by Fire Chief itself in the motors of millions of American cars all over the country. And it's a road show that's making records for long runs, quick starts, and sustain power. Folks, if you want to enjoy this really outstanding performance, here's the way to do it. Stop at a Texaco dealer for Famous Fire Chief at regular gasoline prices. Texaco Star Theater continues in just a moment when Fred Allen returns to present this week's winner in the Texaco College competition. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, marks the seventh week in which the student body of one of America's many institutions of higher learning has elected and sent to the Texaco Star Theater a boy or girl chosen as that particular university's most talented undergraduate. Each Wednesday, Fred Allen presents one of these talented youngsters as his guest, the winner receiving a trip to New York with all expenses paid and a cash award of $200. Tonight's winner is a young man from the University of North Carolina. Now, Fred, are you ready to bid our guest welcome?
Yes, Larry. From the same campus that gave the entertainment world Maestro John Scott Trotter and Jay Kaiser, we present the University of North Carolina's most talented undergraduate, as of 1941, Alonzo Squires. Well, congratulations, Alonzo, and welcome to the Texaco Star Theater.
Thank you all, Mr. Allen, and I want to thank you for this fine opportunity you've given me and for the swell time you're giving me here in New York.
Well, we're very happy to have you here with us, Alonzo. Is this your first trip to New York City?
That's right.
Well, what is the one thing you want to do now that you're here?
You know, I believe I'd like to ride one of those escalators up at Macy's.
Oh, yes, an escalator. That's an elevator that makes it upstairs the hard way. Well, if you do take an escalator at Macy's, Alonzo, be sure you don't wind up in the basement. I was down there one day, and before I could get out, I was marked down three times. And I was still no bargain when I got out of there. I read someplace, Alonzo, that your school, the University of North Carolina, was founded almost 150 years ago, and that it is the oldest state university in America. Is that right?
That's right. And the first of our faculty consisted of only two teachers, and they had to wait around an entire month before the first student showed up.
The teachers got there for the pupils, huh? Well, I know just how they felt. I waited around 5 years for my first sponsor to show up, Alonzo.
I see what you mean.
But I didn't last 150 years with him. The ivy never had a chance to grow up my leg, and I was gone. But tell me, Alonzo, what are you studying down at the university?
I'm studying law.
You want to be a lawyer, huh?
That's right.
Well, Rudy Vallee was going to be a lawyer, but his voice was too nasal. He realized he couldn't go into court very well with his nose pleading, so he gave it up. Oh, let it go. We'll skip it. But why be a lawyer, Alonzo? How about becoming an actor or going into radio?
Well, I figure to be a good trial lawyer, one must be about 90% actor. And if I get to be a lawyer, I'll satisfy about two ambitions, huh?
Uh-huh. You'll be Dr. Habeas and Mr. Corpus.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, I understand that your alma mater has contributed a number of statesmen to this country, Alonzo.
Well, that's right. One president, one vice president, and five secretaries of the Navy.
Five secretaries
that's
of the Navy.
Right.
Well, they must have thought they had graduated from Annapolis. They should have looked at their diplomas before they left. Well, Alonzo, now, before you start your impersonations, I want to give you a message to take back to North Carolina.
I'd be glad to save you a stamp, Mr. Allen.
Well, that's very nice of you. I received a letter from Mayor King of Greensboro today, Alonzo, and he sent me a hand of tobacco and a cotton nightshirt. Now, when you get back, will you kindly thank Mayor King and tell him that I'm selling the tobacco to a certain company up here for 82% over the market price. And the nightshirt is a perfect fit, the monogram especially. Now, will you tell Mayor King that?
I surely will.
Well, thank you. And now, what about your first impersonation, Alonzo?
Well, I feel sure you know this gentleman, Mr. Allen. Hello, everyone. It's Beau Carter speaking. Well, tonight's news is ominous. The situation at the censored point remains unchanged. A certain embassy admits the situation is most tense. And from a reliable source, I can't mention the diplomat's name, but behind closed doors, this party under pressure admits that a certain general may decide to move. And on the other hand, the general may decide not to decide to move. And then on the other hand, this general may make no decision until after he has decided to decide or not to decide. That's the outlook. That's the outlook for the moment, and so until we meet again, Mr. Beau Carter, saying to you, cheerio.
Well, that was excellent. Oh, very good. That was excellent, Alonzo. Now, who is next?
Well, I should like to give an imitation of Mr. Wendell L. Wilkie.
All right.
My fellow Americans, I have never felt better in my life. I just thought I'd come downstairs and see how you all are getting along. Some person said to me a little while ago, don't give up yet. Well, I guess that person just doesn't know me.
That was swell, Alonzo. And from now on, you're on your own.
Okay, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now I should like to give an imitation of Fred Allen as he interviewed Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of the American Tobacco Company's program.
Thank you. And now, Jimmy, if I were to ask you whose theme song is more popular on radio than any other person, whose would you say, Jimmy?
Well, I'd say probably Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs.
And you'd be exactly right, Jimmy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to the radio audience Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of the American Tobacco Company's program. How do you do, Speed? You don't mind if I call you Speed, do you?
Not at all, Fred. I wish you would.
When you came here tonight, I expected you'd start off with something like this. Good evening, Fred. Hello. But really, Speed, would you mind giving us an idea of how that chant really goes?
Not at all. It goes something like this.
That was fine, Alonzo, but tell me one thing, confidentially, why did you have to hold your nose while you were impersonating me? That wasn't a form of criticism, was it?
Oh, no, I was just talking through my nose, had to flatten my words a bit.
Oh, yeah. Had to flatten your words, yeah?
That's
now,
right.
All right, now what is your next impression?
My next imitation is a facsimile broadcast of the 15th round of the Joe Louis-Tommy Farr fight, with Ed Hill as between the rounds announcer and Clem McCarthy at the ringside, after which the two contestants give their viewpoints of the fight. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have been listening to the blow-by-blow description of the 14 rounds of the Joe Louis-Tommy Farr fight, and the 15th round is now coming up, and here's Clem McCarthy at the ringside to tell you about it. And take it away, Clem.
And there's the bell. And Louis. And Louis comes out of his corner, and Farr comes out of his. They're off in the ring now. They're sparring lightly. Neither doing any damage. And there, Louis comes in the left with Joe, and Farr on the right to the body. There in a clinch. The referee picks him. He puts him back out there in the ring, and they're again sparring lightly. And Farr comes in the right to the body, and Louis with the left with Joe, and another left with Joe, and there's the bell. In just a few moments, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have Tommy Farr, Joe Louis, up here to give his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, take it away, Ed Hill. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, Clem McCarthy will have Joe Louis up here to give you his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, here come the judges with a heavyweight decision, and still our former heavyweight champion, Joe Louis. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I see Clem McCarthy with Joe Louis at the ringside, so take it, Clem.
And congratulations to you, Joe, on your fine work up here tonight. Have you anything you want to say to the radio audience?
Hello, everybody. I'm glad I win.
Well, Joe, what do you feel made you win?
I don't know, sir. Just a lucky punch, that's all.
Well, Joe, was he as tough as that next mailing fight?
I don't know, sir. I don't know much about him. Makes mail and fry.
Well, congratulations to you, and thanks for coming up. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, I'll have Tommy Farr up here to give you his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, take it, Ed Hill. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, we'll have Tommy Farr up here to give you his viewpoints on the fight. But in the meantime, I'd like to say a little something about Texaco, but no, I won't have time for. Here comes Clem McCarthy with Tommy Farr now, and so take it away, Clem. And congratulations to you, Tommy, on your fine work up here tonight. Have you anything you want to say to the radio audience?
I'd like to say hello to my brothers and sisters in Tony Pondy, and I'd like to say that I've done the best I could.
Well, congratulations to you, Tommy, and that's all from the ringside tonight.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Next week's winner, ladies and gentlemen, hails from the University of Kentucky at Lexington. After listening to the three finalists perform over station WHAS in Louisville, the Kentucky student body voted. The ballots have just been tabulated, and the winner is Miss Betty Roberts. Congratulations, Betty. And don't forget, we have a date next Wednesday night. Well, that brings us around to Kenny again, and this time Kenny sings Mama Maria.
She was a lady of the Latin Quarter. He was one of those who called to court her. He finally convinced her to pick a trousseau because he sang to her just like Caruso. Mama, Mama, Maria. This is my song all day long, for Mia. Fiddle-diddle-dee, fiddle-diddle-la, bella-bella-bella. Fiddle-diddle-lay, everybody say, I'm a lucky fella. Mama, mama, Maria. You are my life, be my wife, for Mia. Fiddle-diddle-dee, what you mean to me? You have no idea. Oh, tell me true, you love me too, Mama Maria. Fiddle-diddle-dee, fiddle-diddle-la-la-la-la-la. Mama Maria. Maria, this is my song all day long for Mia. Fiddle-diddle-dee, bella-bella-bella. Everybody say, I'm a lucky fella. Hey, Maria, you are my life, be my wife, Carmia. Fiddle-diddle-dee, I'm a lucky fella. Oh, tell me true, you love me too, Mama Maria. Fiddle-diddle-dee, fiddle-diddle-dee, fiddle-diddle-la, la 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 la. Mama Maria.
Well, during 1941, automobile factories worked day and night. The names of the country's leading auto magnates are known to us all. But the one magnate no one has ever heard of until tonight is Hank Horsepower Allen. We take you now to the office of this dynamic schlemiel.
Allen Motors Corporation, step on it. President Allen? Sorry, he's busy looking over a new chassis. No, not in the factory. Mr. Allen's out seeing the latest Lana Turner picture. I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Ah, Streamline, good morning, Miss Hub, FOB.
Back from the picture already?
Yes, I didn't wait for the dishes. After seeing Lana Turner, I got an idea.
I get ideas seeing Clark Gable.
Well, I keep my mind on the automobile business, Miss Hub. I got an idea.
From Lana Turner?
Yes. I'm taking off the hoods off all new cars and putting on sweaters. Gad, what a sweater will do for those bodies.
On me, it don't make no difference.
I'm speaking of new models, Miss Hub. Dad, my new model this year will make history. I'm calling it the Sweater Six. No wonder Henry Allen Old Hank is the greatest auto executive in the world today.
You lost a fortune on last year's model.
The 1941 Allen Typhoon was a colossal car, Miss Hubb. But I made one mistake. I had it so full of gadgets, I didn't have room for the motor. But I'm not making that mistake this year. Since the new Allen efficiency system has been installed, every employee is a cog in a perfect machine.
Oh, that reminds me. Funston, your foreman, was in this morning.
Funston was in for what?
The men on the assembly line are demanding 3 minutes for lunch instead of two.
Why, ridiculous. Our efficiency check shows a banana can be swallowed in 2 minutes flat. Now, why do the men need an extra minute?
To peel the banana.
Balderdash! An unpeeled banana can be eaten with one hand. Either hand, the worker has a choice. It takes 2 hands to peel a banana. Precious seconds are wasted.
I'll send a memo to John L.
No, no, no. Let's not start that again. Everything has got to run smoothly today of all days. Mr. O.P. Emerson is coming from Washington.
To inspect the new Allen 8?
Yes. If we land this government contract, the Allen Auto Company will be out of the red for the first time in its history.
We can't have no slips today.
No, Miss Hubb. And speaking of slips, yours is showing.
I'm in it too far. I'll get out a little.
It would help if you were.
Gosh, maybe this is Mr. Emerson now.
If it is, this sketch is going to run 7 minutes short. I hope not. Come in.
Hello, Chief. Remember me?
You are a cog in my perfect machine, are you?
Yeah, I'm number 77. My name is Piddley.
Well, Gad Piddley, what are you doing away from the assembly line? Allen 8's are going by.
Don't worry. I'm on my vacation, Chief. I get 10 minutes off every year with pay.
Well, stick your head out of the window, Piddley, and get some sun. Yeah. Don't bother to send me a postcard. Put your head back in. I've got to...
Mr. Allen.
Yes, Piddley?
I've been working here 20 years.
Well, congratulations, Piddley.
And for 20 years, I've been doing the same thing.
What is your precise function, Piddley?
Well, you know nut 300 that's on the bolt that holds a body to the chassis?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. 300 is the most important nut in the Allen 8 chassis.
Well, that's my job.
What?
I'm a tinker.
A tinker?
Yeah, as each Allen 8 moves by on the assembly line...
Yes?
I tap nut 300 two tinks with my hammer.
Well, I don't quite understand. Now, let me see. Here's a model car over in the corner here. Now, can you demonstrate on it?
Oh, you bet. I got my hammer right here.
Oh, efficient Piddley.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You see, here's what happens, Chief. Every 3 seconds an Allen 8 passes me. I spot nut 300 and I go...
That is your job?
Yes, sir. Every 3 seconds, I go...
What craftsmanship! The nuance, the technique.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And you have been tinking nut 300 with this elfin touch for 20 years?
Yes, sir. But lately, I'm beginning to feel I'm getting into a rut.
You... You are thinking of the future, wise old Piddley. You want to get ahead.
Yes, sir. After all, 20 years just tapping two tinks on that 300.
Your faithful service will be rewarded, Piddley.
Oh, Chief.
You are going places with this organization.
Oh, Chief.
Stop licking my hand, Piddley.
Forgive me, Chief. My tongue was out. I weakened.
I know. But no liquid gratitude, please. Give me your hammer, Piddley.
Here, sir.
Thank you. From now on, Piddley, here is your raise. From now on, this will be your job.
An extra tink. I don't deserve it, Chief.
That is for me to decide, Piddley. Time and clean living will tell.
Well, I'll come through. I'll tink like I've never tunk.
Well, thank you, Tiddly, and goodbye, loyal Tiddly. Yeah, think of it, Miss Hubb. A whole army of dirty little Piddlies out there. Tinking, toiling, we can't miss. O.P. Emerson will have to give us that government contract.
Will the Allen 8s be ready in time?
They ought to be coming off the assembly line now. This is probably where this very minute. Come in.
Weffel reporting, sir.
Weffel, my vice president in charge of accessories.
Yes, sir. Will you okay this new triple-duty all-purpose horn, sir?
All-purpose horn?
Yes, sir. It has three buttons. Each blows a different horn for a different purpose.
Well, how does the horn operate, Weffel?
Well, if you want to clear traffic, you press this button.
Oh, very good. The mayor will want one of these FOB in the morning.
Now, if you're alone in the car and want to attract the attention of a young lady on the sidewalk, this button is pressed.
Hi, babe.
It gives the car extra pickup, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, what is that third button?
When the finance company's man comes for the final payment on your car, you press this.
Get that tone. It has a Ubangi richness. You have done a great job, Weffel.
Thank you, sir.
This Christmas, your pay cut will only be 10%.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Get this all-purpose horn right on now. Mr. Emerson will be here at any minute.
Yes, sir.
Gee, the Allen 8 looks like a great car, Chief.
Oh, this model will have more horsepower than the Rodeo, Miss Hubb. Why, it's been tested. This must be Mr. O.P. Emerson from Washington now.
I'll hide your cigars.
Yes, do that. And wait till I reverse my dickey before you open the door.
Yes.
All right. Come in. An asthma case. Come in, Mr. O.P. Emerson.
Come, Alan. I'm a busy man. Where is this new car of yours?
The first 10 Allen 8s are off the line and ready for inspection, Mr. Allen.
Then let's have a look at them. I'm a busy man.
Funston has the cars lined up on the workshop floor, Mr. Emerson, just through this door.
Say, this is the first tiled workshop I've ever seen.
Oop, wrong door. It's this next one here. My loyal employees have gathered about. All right, men, you may cheer your chief briefly.
Hooray! A-L-L-E-N! Allen!
Thank you, workers. Get back to your posts. Where's my whip? Get them back. Scat, you all! The men are a little excited, Mr. Emerson. The first model's off the line, you know.
I'm a busy man, Allen. Are those these?
Them are they, Mr. Emerson. Gad, what a sight. 10 sleek, shiny juggernauts.
Yes, they look good and strong. I think you and I and the government can get together, Alan.
Look at this lovely brown model here, Mr. Emerson. I can't resist patting this little smooth, gleaming radiator. Gad!
What is this, Alan?
Leaping pistons. I barely touched that car. And look, it's fallen in a heap.
If these other cars are that shaky, the deal is off.
No. These others are as strong as Gibraltar, Mr. Emerson.
I say, it's drafty out here.
Gad, Mr. Emerson. You have sneezed down 4 more cars.
How do I get out of here, Alan? I'm a busy man.
Please don't go, Mr. Emerson.
I'm sorry, Alan. I'm a busy man.
Gad.
5 of these 10 cars have fallen apart. Mr. Big will hear of this.
No.
This looks like sabotage to me.
I don't understand it. Every second car on that line collapsed. But the cars between are all right. Funston.
Yeah, Chief, I just examined them cars that fell apart.
Well, what's wrong, Funston? Speak up, man.
That's the main body note, sir. And a nut 300 is missing on every car that collapsed.
Nut 300?
Well, yeah, Piddley's in charge of nut 300 on the assembly line, sir.
Bring Piddley here, Funston, and pronto.
Yes, sir.
I'm a busy man.
I'll straighten this out in no time, Mr. Emerson. Funston is bringing Piddley now.
Yeah, here's Piddley, sir.
Hello, Chief. Remember me? I'm the tinker.
You certainly are, Piddley, with a capital S. What is the meaning of this?
What, Chief?
Every other car off the assembly line has fallen apart.
Well, I've been in there tinkering just like always.
Oh, yes?
Yeah.
Then why is nut 300, your nut, Piddley, missing on every car that came apart?
Nut 300?
You heard me. Have you been drinking? Let me smell your breath. Exhale, Piddley. I see.
You don't smell no liquor, do you?
No liquor, Piddley, but I do smell Latakia. You have been smoking.
Yes, sir. I always smoke while I'm working.
You smoke on the assembly line?
I got jangled nerves. I'm a chain smoker. I smoke one cigarette after the other. It don't bother my work, though. I got a time.
Time?
Yeah, I finish a cigarette in one draw. It takes me exactly 3 seconds.
Well, how do you...
Every 3 seconds on the assembly line, a car goes by. I put on a 300, and I give it 3 tanks.
Yes.
The next 3 seconds, nothing goes by. I light a cigarette and finish it in 3 seconds.
Yes.
Then another car goes by. I put on a 300.
Yeah.
Then another smoke, another car, another smoke, another car. Been doing it 20 years.
Well, then what happened today?
Pity forgot his cigarettes this morning, Chief.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Well, what happened, Funston?
Well, I give Piddley my pack so he could work.
Let me see those cigarettes, Piddley.
Here they are, sir. They ain't my brand.
Well, no wonder not 300 is missing on half these cars.
It's my fault.
Every other car got by you on the assembly line, Piddley. Instead of 3 seconds, you spent 6 seconds smoking.
You mean...
These are king-size cigarettes, Piddley.
You mean long-size cigarettes wreck these cars, Alan?
Yes, Mr. Emerson. Modern design made the big difference.
Gentlemen, we're a little late. Our guest next week is Mark Hellinger. Thank you for joining us tonight, and good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.